This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because, together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Scooney Side by Side and MIT.
That's right.
The suspension company have partnered with Scooney's, and together they are doing a phenomenal job. Not only will they trick out your Jeep, your truck, with upgraded suspension, lights, winches, maintenance, and insurance, but they also now are doing side-by-sides. So Scooney is now in the same location as MIT. So for all your off-road needs, all you have to do is check them out, and you will be totally, totally thrilled with the expertise at MIT and Scooney's side-by-side. We got Ed Stovin in the house, and we have a very special guest, Noah. And Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
So who are you with?
I am an owner of Zebra Adventures 4x4.
Okay, he looks at his watch first. I don't know why he did that. For some reason, it must have been on his watch. Now, Zebra Adventures, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So we're a small independent automotive shop, kind of geared towards not necessarily just off-road. It's the adventure of the family, the living a life. Obviously, a lot of it consists of tricking out your four-wheel drive to get you to the place.
Right.
But I kind of grew up hunting and fishing, and it was mainly not necessarily off-roading, but you needed to get to the spot. So a lot of those times, we got into very complicated situations off-roading for 4 or 6 hours just to get to the place. And I kind of grew up there, and it was part of the off-road, but more the adventure.
Mm.
So I kind of grew up that way. And wasn't really probably 4x4ing as a sport till about 93, where Johnson Valley came into the picture,
right.
Started tricking out the Toyota, and, you know, started going up to Johnson Valley, breaking stuff. Pretty soon you're driving a truggy.
So now you're open to the general public.
Yes.
So you're basically you would call yourself an adventure shop.
Well, it's a 4x4 shop.
But,
that helps you trick out your truck so you can have adventures.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So everything from mild to wild?
Mild to wild, pretty much. Right now we're new, so we're gearing up more equipment. So, yeah, anything bolt-on right now, small fabrication.
All right.
But there's a lot of people who really don't know the know-how or don't have the time to trick out their cars right now.
Or they don't know what they want.
True, and if they don't know what they want, I really suggest not calling me. Being part of the community, go to, you know, Off-Road Coalition shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shows that happen at Fiesta Island.
Right.
Come out and meet people, see what they drive, see what they do. That's one of the very, very big things that people ask me. What do you think about that suspension? I was like, well, I don't know. What do you want to do with your truck?
Right.
What do you want to do? You can't put a long travel suspension and go rock crawling.
Right, exactly.
So that's kind of why I want to help people. I don't want to be just a shop. I want to be part of the community.
Right, kind of a consultant to a certain degree.
Well, not necessarily a consultant. I mean, you're just part of the group. You're not just a client. You're a friend.
Right.
We're going to go do trips together, or tell me about where you're going next.
Right. How'd you come up with the name?
That's the fault of my brother. Ever since like 86, he's had this Toyota, and for whatever reasons, he zebra-striped it. And thereafter, every off-road truck he's had, he zebra-striped it.
So he's got this thing for zebras?
Yeah, and you might see him right around town. There's a,
I've seen it.
There's a 95 Toyota 4Runner zebra-striped, and there's another 100 series Land Cruiser that's zebra-striped. And I think we're working on a couple of more if you see us around town.
So, well, it's perfect advertising. You know, if somebody sees a zebra-striped vehicle, they're going to get a look at it more than once.
Yeah, so if you search us online, Zebra Adventures, you're going to come up with two. An off-road shop and an actual adventure safari a company out of Africa.
And you're not the one in Africa.
We're not the one in Africa.
Not yet, anyway. I know. So, all right, well, that's good. How long have you been doing this?
A year and a half.
Oh, so you are
for the off-road,
fresh.
Yeah.
All right.
But I've been working on trucks ever since we can try to get to the next trail.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where are you located?
Right here in Miramar.
Oh, on Miramar Road?
Miramar Road, right next to Harbor Freight, if everybody knows
that. I know,
that.
Right?
We all know where that is.
Yeah.
We actually get a lot of business from people going to Harbor Freight to buy tools to work on their own truck.
Right.
And they look over and say, yeah, maybe I could just have these guys do it.
Well, normally your warranty's better than their warranty.
Absolutely.
And that's what I always tell
people. They don't have to bust their knuckles. I do.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what I try to tell people. Somebody, you know, I've been in the business more than years, I care to admit, and I love it when people say, well, I'm going to do my own brakes. I go, really? You're going to do your own brakes? Okay. What kind of warranty do you have? Well, what do you mean? Well, in case you don't do them right and you put the foot on the pedal and it goes to the floor, are you going to explain that to your wife as you're going off the ravine? I mean, there's certain things you can do and there's certain things you need to let other people do, especially if you got to do it more than once to get good at it.
Yeah, but I think as more people, we get busy in our lives, there's not a lot of time to actually take care of that.
Right. Oh, time is everything.
Time is everything right now.
So you must not have any trouble getting technicians.
I do, actually. Good ones.
I was only doubt.
He's kidding.
Trust me, I was being facetious because
good techs are hard to find.
Oh, every show I do that's automotive driven, I physically come to your business and collect a check for advertising.
Yeah.
Every Friday. People won't even say, hi, Dave, how's your day going? Have you found me a tech? Can you find me a tech?
That goes around, yeah.
And people don't realize. And it's not that it's that more that difficult of a job. It's just finding somebody that's good in the industry. They're hard to find.
I don't know how you pinpoint it, whether they went to school or more so the people that are, I don't want to say good, is people who are passionate, that have been working on cars since they were 10 type
right.
thing.
Right.
You know, and that's hard to come by these days.
Very
especially because they're so complicated.
Well, yeah, if you go into that arena, yeah, then it is tough. Yeah. Well, we're definitely glad to have you on coming into the show.
Thank you.
Did you bring him in for any specific reason or just because he's a good guy?
Well, he's hosting a checkpoint at the Lost Lizard Fun Run.
That's coming up.
That's coming up November 9th.
You ever hosted a checkpoint?
No, I've actually been trying to get into it, but it's hard. It's very select people who get to partake in an event like this.
Well, so you have to come out with the most fun, whatever you're going to do.
Yes, we're working on it.
You have to come out with
something. We're talking about costumes or, you know, whatever.
Right. And then if you do a dunk tank, I know a guy sitting right next to you. He'll be more than happy to sit in the dunk tank. Hey, if it's hot out there, you'd love to sit in a dunk tank.
I'm busy. I got the Lost Lizard on my back.
Yeah, they're still looking for you.
They'll find
me. When's that coming up?
November 9th over by Superstition Mountain.
So same place as last year?
Same exact base camp.
Okay.
You can find all the details on sdorc.org.
I got an idea for your checkpoint. Three words. Zebra petting zoo. Boom.
He's going to go to the zoo and steal a zebra.
Right. Getting the zebra.
Today's
might be a
top
challenge.
Story. A man wandered off on the property of the zoo with a zebra in his hand.
Oh, just like in Mexico. Remember they paint the donkeys?
Oh, that's
yes.
what you need to
there
do.
There you go. Why is that zebra going yee-haw?
Yeah, all right. Or better yet, you need to get a Great Dane and paint stripes on it.
any volunteers out there?
That's yeah, all right. Do we have any volunteers?
Mommy, that zebra's barking at me.
Yeah. Right.
So, Dave, Noah also does. Do you sponsor trips into Mexico? You said you just had a trip down near Puerto Citos.
It's not necessarily sponsoring, but I do want to open the doors for people who have never been to Mexico to kind of show them where to go and what to do.
So it's kind of a you get a couple, you're a bunch of people together, a certain number, and then you're just a guide. Kind of like.
Yeah, no money exchanged. I don't charge for that service. It's just to open the doors to
gotcha.
People.
Gotcha.
As far as for buying, you know, Baja is still on tap potential for mm-hmm. a lot of people. And there's a lot of misconceptions. It's very violent and there's a lot of crime. Yeah, there's violence and crimes everywhere.
There's crime right here in San Diego. You
right.
just don't go to that area.
Exactly. You know, you mostly travel during the day because the roads are not very good. go where you're supposed to, treat people nice, and then, you know, leave the land as you found it.
Exactly. And it's such a simple, you know, it's a simple rule of thumb. If people would just abide by it, everybody, we wouldn't have the trash being left, you know, at all the other different off-road, you know, facilities, whether it's in the U.S. or in Mexico. And the proof of the matter is, once you get below Tijuana and Tecate, you're in a new country. You're in a new
absolutely,
world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I got a friend of mine, it's not an off-road. He's just taking a cruise down around the point, and he's going to end up in Loreto.
Uh-huh.
I says, you haven't lived till you've been to Loreto.
Loreto is amazing, yes.
You'll want to move to Loreto as soon as you get off the boat, because you're going to love it. He goes, really? I go, trust me, if you haven't been there, you haven't lived. And those are the places, you know, like, I mean, I can, you know, you can pretty much name every place below, you know, that area that are just beautiful places to visit.
Right.
Ed would rather do it on a motorcycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Ed Hansen's Muffler, where all your pipe dreams come true. Ed Hansen's been doing mufflers and exhaust systems almost as long as mufflers and exhaust systems have been around. They're here to take care of all your exhaust needs, whether it's high performance, street, maybe you're driving a car where they're stealing your catalytic converters. They got catalytic converter guards that they can put on it. They've been doing this since 1985. They are the most reputable muffler shop I know of. They specialize in a wide variety of exhausts. They have a crew that's been around there for more years than I care to admit. They're talented. They're honest. They have determination with customer satisfaction being number one. And they have an A-plus rating for the Better Business Bureau. Go to edhansensmuffler.com or call them at 619-698-7030. Thank them for sponsoring San Diego Off-Road Coalition, because without their help, the coalition would be struggling to put on the Lost Lizard Run and fight the fight in Sacramento. And by the way, last month's interview was absolutely epic.
Which interview was that?
That was What's-His-Face from the coalition. You can't even remember. You're the one that put it together. What was his name? Anyway, it was a great one. I hope they go to the website, SDORC, and take a listen to it. We were talking about,
Oceana. Was Amy. We had Amy Grant.
No, no, no. And then the Oceana Dunes one.
Oh, with Jim Sudi?
No, it was another gentleman. He was, I can't think of it to save my life. Anyway, do that. That's amazing. What do you got?
Okay.
You don't even have any paper.
I got two topics. I can remember them.
Okay,
so Hungry Valley, it's not what you had to eat for breakfast this morning.
Right.
Hungry Valley is the second largest state vehicular recreation area in California. And 3 weeks ago, a wildfire burned through the area, and it is now closed. So,
is that by Chino?
It's about... 20 minutes north of Magic Mountain.
So it's the park fire? No, then it's not the park fire.
No, it's further south. It's between LA and Bakersfield.
Gotcha.
Along Highway 5. It's
how many acres?
So the park is about 20,000 acres.
Wow.
And the whole thing burned. The structures burned. There was a lot of vegetation damage out there. A lot of trees burned. It's kind of a tragedy. Somebody said that it may have started from chains bouncing behind on a trailer
right.
on the freeway nearby, which is, I don't really understand how those small sparks could do that, but I'm not a fire expert.
Right.
Anyway, the park is closed now. Last Thursday, 3 days ago, we had an off-highway vehicle commission meeting, and at these commission meetings, people do presentations. And one of the presentations was a gentleman who's involved with Hungry Valley. And he described all the damage, and he got up and he talked all about it. And so they have a comment period afterwards. And I got up and I said, after the fire, every trail in the park was undamaged. Trails don't get damaged by a wildfire. They get damaged by other things, but they don't get damaged by a fire. And so there's not really a good justification for closing the trails in and of itself. Now, the park has a responsibility to keep people out of sensitive areas. And when an area burns, there's the desire to go drive around places where we couldn't drive before. There used to be a lot of bushes there. Right now, the bushes are gone. Like, oh, look at that hill climb. So I get that the park needs to close an area and they need to manage it properly. But there was a fire in Corral Canyon about 17 years ago. Corral Canyon is the off-highway vehicle area in the Cleveland National Forest, and they closed the whole thing. Well, at that time, Richard Tall was the area manager, and he was off-road friendly, and he decided that if we put some low fences along either side of the trails, we could open them a lot sooner. The forest's idea was to wait till the vegetation grows up enough to prevent people from going off trail. Well, as we know, that could take years. Mm-hmm. Years. And do we really want this place closed for years? No, we want to go driving out there. Mm-hmm. So we went out. We had volunteer crews. I went out and volunteered, and we put in these low fences. And then within a few weeks, we got the place reopened. Mm. So I'm advocating to the park staff that we should do the same thing out there, that we should put in some low fences. We don't need a high fence, just enough to keep people like, oh, you should stay on the trail.
Right. Yeah. Just
out there.
A border.
That should work.
So hopefully that will work. Now, they don't want to do anything out there right now because it's really hot. They're saying, well, we're going to wait till September or October to do this. Like, oh, I guess. I mean, I'm not in charge of everything. If I was, I'd say, well, let's go out there at night. Let's go out in the morning and do some. But, you know, I only can go so far. Anyway, they're going to be doing some work out there soon, and we're going to be pushing them. So SDRC and Corva. Are you familiar with Corva, Noah?
Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm a director of Corva. I've been on the board for 19 years. Wow. And the two organizations work pretty closely together. So the two organizations will be asking state parks to expedite opening these trails. That's a big deal. It's important to a lot of people. People in the northern side of Los Angeles and in Bakersfield, they love to go there and go off-roading.
Now, is there a main concern just people staying on the trail or going off the trail right now?
The big trail would be, the big problem is that people would go off the trail.
Right. And that's all, whether it was burned out or not, they don't want you going off the trail and off just careening through the countryside.
Right.
By the way, Bo Nice from TDS just texted and said that he's thinking the person I'm talking about is Jared McLeod from Friends of Oceana. By the way, TDS donated $1,000, which is phenomenal. But the guy I'm thinking about is Randy Banas.
Oh, Randy, of course.
Remember when he was on?
Yeah.
And you guys had a big meeting last week here in San Diego.
We did.
Did you go?
Of course.
Of course. Yeah, you did. Okay, well, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so where are you at on this getting this small fence? Or have you even talked to him?
Yeah, they know we want it, and they're just sort of thinking about it. And this meeting was just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
3 days ago.
Was that part of the conversation as well?
They didn't bring it up. Only I brought it up.
Okay.
So this is kind of a new thing to them. So we're going to have to push on them and ask them to.
Now you have to find people that donate to pay for the fencing, or how does that work?
So State Parks has money, right? This is the green sticker portion of,
so they
state
could
parks.
Actually buy the fence if you put it up.
They have the manpower and the money to buy materials and hire people. The question is, and like, if it's a lot of money, that's different. Then they have to put it into next year's budget, right? You know how the government agencies,
yeah,
right? They don't just
prepare for
millions.
It,
if it's in the millions,
if it's a lot of money, they got to put it in next year's budget. If it's a smaller amount of money, they can.
How much you think you're looking at dollar-wise?
God, well, if we can, I think we could wrangle some volunteers. I think in the low tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And
you go after like Yamaha, Honda. I know.
I'm totally agree with you that they have a vested interest in having people use these areas.
Otherwise, what's the point of selling? Polaris is another.
Polaris has a grant program.
And they got Yamaha lots of money.
But they haven't really mentioned it's a money issue, right? Because you can have fundraisers or whatever.
They haven't said it yet. And
well, they really can't say it,
and so they
because they have a lot of money.
They can use volunteers, but they can't have volunteers doing it exclusively. Like they need to have park staff making sure that things
right. Well, of course, lines. Of course. But I mean, you could put like 10 park staff and then the rest volunteers.
Exactly.
They so as long as you have a
park staff, just as long as you have a management team, do your work here, and then the workers are there working.
I mean, it's pretty much the mainly it's like coming up with the decision. This is what we're doing, and then ask for the assistance.
Well, and the beauty of having this show is that if you go to the park and rec guys and say, look, you guys give us X amount of people to guide us, we'll sell, you know, or not sell, maybe get people to volunteer to do it, and then we'll put it on the radio and let everybody know NOAA's and all the other companies that support the off-road community were part of putting this little fence up where everybody wins. Everybody gets a positive.
I think nobody's in the four-wheel drive community. Nobody's looking to close any other.
No. If anything, this guy, I mean, he fights constantly tooth and nail. And it's so funny because even in the motorsport community, they're constantly trying to shut down as many racetracks, as many off-road. I mean, Willow Springs. And if you've never been to Willow Springs, it is a hellhole of a racetrack. Wind and all that. But they're trying to put homes around it, and they want to get rid of it.
Oh, my God. I've raced there a bunch of times.
Yeah. Is that a fun place to race?
I won a main event on the streets of Willows in a supermoto race.
Yeah.
It was 1999. What a fun a day that was.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I interviewed the producer of Ford versus Ferrari, where that was part of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And the funny part about it is I said, how much money did you put into Willow to make it look like the 50s? And he looked at me. He says, not a dime.
Not a dime. It already does.
Yeah. So there's no reason to think that way. All right. So what's the next step on this?
I'm going to be working with Amy Granite talk to
By the way, great staff. Interview, too.
Yeah, she really knows a lot of stuff.
We got to get her back on.
Okay, we'll get her maybe next month or two.
Right.
She's wonderful. So Amy and I work together on stuff, and I'll be talking about her on the next segment here today about off-road vehicle safety.
Okay.
But we'll be talking about to her and state park staff, trying to find, like, what's the best way we can get the park opened early, and maybe not every single part of the park, but what are the favorite trails, what are the places where people really like to go, and we can do those first, and we can do a limited opening.
That's
what I envision.
Well, I do too. And you know, I was just thinking, when's the last negative story on off-roaders in the news?
What time is it, Dave? Because you get those, you get them,
but I mean that are truthful, you know what I mean? I mean, really, I don't. You know,
so when that truck went off the course at Johnson Valley in the off road race, and it killed some people in the crowd, that was a terrible tragedy.
It was a terrible tragedy, but it has nothing to do with trying to keep the, you know, keep the trails and what have you open. I mean, I won't equate a race to wheeling.
To just recreation.
Just recreation wheeling, taking your family, buying your Zebra Jeep or Toyota, and just going out. A race is always, I mean, look at Le Mans. You know, Mercedes-Benz killed a bucket load of people in that race.
Really?
Yeah, a car hit the other car, and it went off into the stands and killed hundreds of people. But they still have Le Mans running. So, yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But
like Megan's story, I think, was in the news, like local news, not really national news, but a young lady was killed in Ocotillo Wells.
Right.
She was on a motorcycle, and a side-by-side coming the other direction veered to the wrong side of the road and hit her head-on.
Well, because he was trying to catch up to his buddies.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Well, and that's education.
And we're going to talk about education in the next segment. That's all right. There's a lot to talk about there.
All right, let's take a quick break. This is STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
S&S Off-Road Magazine. Boy, I tell you, if you're new at Wheeling, then you've got to go to SS ORMAG.com. Find out everything that's going on out in the desert. There's a classified where you can buy and sell. There's great stories, even written by Ed. S&S ORMAG has been around for as long as I can remember. Definitely get on board. It's a ton of fun. Wayne Miller Tires and Mobile Auto Service. They're actually doing auto service now too as well, so that's really kind of cool. They offer a variety of everything you'd need under the hood of your vehicle. They specialize in Jeeps, but their main thing is tires. So everything from a golf cart to a tractor trailer, if you need a good tire shop, they'll come to you, especially if you're out broke down on the side of the road. Wayne Miller Tire, 619-596-2800. All right, we got Ed and Noah in the house. And Ed, what are you gonna bring to the table this time?
So I want to talk about off-road vehicle safety. It's a hot topic. It's a big topic. Last Wednesday, people from state parks and a variety of government agencies came to San Diego for the third annual safety summit. There was also maybe 20 off-road vehicle advocates like myself. Mm-hmm. And when I walked in and there's all the people there, it was very refreshing to see so many friendly faces, because I've been doing off-road vehicle politics a long time. And I have a lot of friends that are staff mm-hmm. in agencies, the BLM, state parks, and national forest. And then there's a bunch of advocates that I know. And we trade emails and we talk sometimes, but just to be there in person with them was really great. Mm-hmm. So the problem that they're working on and trying to solve is, for the last 5 to 10 years, side-by-side vehicles have become more powerful and more capable than anyone had dreamed years before. And so what's happening is people are buying these things, and people who are not really off-road vehicle users, they haven't been off-roading in the past, they don't really know the rules and the etiquette. They're buying these things and they're going out to the desert, to the forest, to the places to go legal off-roading, or maybe not, and they're acting inappropriately. I think that's the nice way to say
that's
it.
That's a polite way to put it.
So there's loud stereos and there's loud exhausts, mm-hmm. which are just annoying. There's trespass. People are taking these things on private property where they shouldn't. They're taking them on public land places where they shouldn't. Like, there was a big, what they call them, a takeover, where they all show up and they race around. Like by Lake Silverwood, mm-hmm. Just next to Highway, is it 15? Mm-hmm. I forget. By down from, and then San Bernardino National Forest. Well, there's no off-road vehicle trails there, but a whole bunch of them went there and drove around and were going nuts. Yeah. So there's that problem. And then when they're driving around, they don't understand the etiquette, like to stay to the right side of the trail, like to show how many vehicles are behind you with your hand, which is a common thing. Because if you're coming head to head, it'd be nice to know how many people are behind, how
right.
many vehicles are behind. So once you get past the last one, you can open up and go again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some tragic accidents.
Terrible.
There's been property damage accidents. There's been injury accidents, and there's been fatality accidents. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of it, like everybody in our industry knows. So I mentioned that there was a lot of agency staff. So the Bureau of Land Management, the National Forest, California State Parks, the Highway Patrol, and then some city and county people were there. So why are these agency people so interested? Well, when an accident happens, say on Bureau of Land Management land, like a real tragedy, somebody dies, well, everybody looks at that agency and says, what are you guys doing to manage this land so that there's no more problems? So State Parks got in trouble for a couple. This one, Megan, that we mentioned earlier.
In Ocotillo Wells.
Mm-hmm. She was killed by a side-by-side on a motorcycle. So we talked about Hungry Valley last segment. Last year, a guy my age had just retired on a motorcycle, and I'm 63. He hit a side-by-side head-on, and he also passed away. So that's really a stark thing. That wasn't ever happening before in previous years, and it's happening more now than ever. So there's a growing consensus that something needs to be done, and that something is training. So for the last couple of years, we've been talking about, well, how can we have voluntary training? How can we get people? How do we reach these people and tell them, you need to take a course, you need to watch a video, you need to do something? So California does not have any mandatory training. However, three other states do. Utah, Oregon, and Arizona. Arizona just passed a law. They haven't started their program yet, but they just passed a law that there's going to have to be mandatory safety training.
Good.
In Arizona. So I've taken all three of the training courses, and Utah and Oregon are very reasonable. I learned stuff. It didn't take too long. It wasn't that big of an
imposition. Was it online?
It was online. They didn't cost anything. I learned a couple of things, believe it or not. I've been off-roading since the 70s, and I actually learned a couple of things. And it also sort of reinforces things that maybe you didn't think about, but you knew.
Does it give you a certificate? Is something going on your record so that if you do get stopped, say, by somebody, they can look up your name and find that you took the course?
I get a paper, and I think one of the states has a database that the law enforcement can look at.
Oh, good.
So that's nice. So I also took the Arizona one, and I thought it was terrible. So it had a couple problems. First of all, they had factual errors. One point, believe it or not, Dave, and you'll understand this. It said that when loading an ATV on a trailer, the center of mass of the ATV should be behind the axle. I'm like, what?
No.
You have to have tongue weight to keep it driving stable. Another place it said that you should ride in the center of the trail. And then a few pages later, it said you should drive on the right side of the trail.
Well, so it really depends if you're up by yourself or not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but how do you know if somebody's coming the other way?
You
know,
did you reply?
I only took it last week.
So you're going to go after them?
And here's the worst thing of all in the training, Dave, is that there are seven chapters, and each chapter has, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 pages, like, and there's a couple paragraphs to read. And so I read the paragraphs, and I can read them at a pretty good pace. Mm-hmm. And then I see it down at the timer at the bottom. I still have 2 minutes to wait until I can click to the next page. Every single time, I was minutes ahead of the timer. And so what should have taken me an hour, hour and a half, took me like 4.5 hours.
Oh, no.
It was just killing me.
People aren't going to stay on that.
I had other stuff on my webs on my browser open so I could read, like do other things while I'm waiting for the timer. It was just
now, was there an age limit on this or a minimum age?
I don't honestly know.
Some motorsports require like minimum age 16 or something to
I don't know what that is for Arizona.
Well, like anything, they don't do their due diligence. If you're going to put a program together, then get the people involved that are involved and then put something together, not like what you're talking about.
So Arizona didn't vet this.
Oh, I was just going to say, Ed, you're lucky because some of the trainings I have to do on a weekly basis, or not, about once per year, when you get out of that program, like you open up another tab to wait till that timer comes off and then you go back to that tab, that just paused the timer.
Oh, so you're supposed to stare. Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
So I have to stare at those 45 words for 2.5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you were mentioning Arizona had a quad question. Is that for all motorsports? Motorcycles, quads,
so the safety training is for all different vehicles. And they talk about motorcycles, ATVs, side-by-sides. So they sort of break it up and talk about it. And the Arizona, they also went out in the weeds. They talked about making signal fires and crazy stuff. Like, I don't know if anyone who ever had to make a signal fire out there.
And what?
So I think they just strayed too far. It wasn't vetted by people like me and like you, Noah, because you're an off-roader.
Yeah.
It wasn't vetted by people who know about this stuff.
And well, it's hard to put years of knowledge into a little booklet. I mean, there should be guidelines of, I'd say, minimum requirements for safety.
Well, they need proofreading. They need proofreading. So let me move on from this. They had what they call breakout rooms where different groups went to different areas, and I went to the legislative breakout room at the Off-Road Vehicle Safety Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And so other people that are interested in legislation, and I'm happily surprised that everybody there was in agreement that there should be mandatory off-road vehicle safety for off-roaders in California. I'm very happy about that.
Wow.
And, you know, SDRC has a lobbyist. I hired Mark Smith last year to work on safety issues with us.
Was he there?
He was there. Yeah, he was there. He made a special trip down, and it was really great to have him there because when he talks, you understand what credibility is in a lobbyist. He really says the right words the right way, and everybody's like, okay, yeah, we want to follow you. So we're going to be running a safety bill next year. We're going to be sponsoring a bill with our lobbyist, and we're going to find a legislator to carry it, and we're going to be ushering it through the whole legislative process next year. I'm very excited about
that. Wow, that's very good news.
Amy Granite and I will be the point people on that. So I'm super excited. I think it's past due. I wanted to run a bill last year, and a couple of advocates said, well, we need more data to make sure we're doing the right thing. And I'm like, oh my God, do you know what the data means? That's people getting injured and killed. And that's not the data we want to collect.
One is all you need.
And there's been way more than one.
Right. Of all ages.
So we want to run this bill. And now state parks, if they were to run a bill, like they said, okay, we have this big problem, we need to work on it. Well, they would have to run it up the flagpole to the governor's office. And then the governor's office would have to choose a legislator. And people like us would lose all control of the process. So really, the only way to do it sensibly is to have off-road vehicle groups like who are outside of the government run the bill,
mm-hmm.
like us. And it will be much better for us. We'll get more what we want in the safety training.
Right.
It'll be more like Utah and Oregon and a lot less like Arizona.
So pushing the bill through just to get the approval, and then what happens as far as like what's going to be inside the training program?
So that's a good question. And that's another whole question, because once the bill passes, then state parks is going to be putting together a safety program. And then people like me
and my friends will look for input.
We will be helping them. They're going to come back to us, and we're going to be working on the criteria.
Because I do agree, some kind of safety level, it's nice, and I don't want to say borderline necessary, but there's too many accidents. Not to pick on the side-by-sides, but this is kind of like a Ferrari of the off-road that anybody can jump in and do. And there's a lot of irresponsibility out there because they're fun.
Right.
But there's a lot of accidents because people are maybe they don't have the background on off-roading. They don't know how to drive on the off-road.
You can't drive your car when you leave here without a license, right?
Right.
So we just need to take that mentality and put it into off-roading for nothing else, saving lives. All right, we got to take a break. Folks, you're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. Make sure you go to SDORC.org. Help out. If you want to donate to the Lost Lizard Fun Run with raffle prizes, maybe you want to sponsor a checkpoint, all you have to do is go to SDORC.org. You'll see tabs that you can reach out, help out, because once the deserts are closed, they're closed, and you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. This is STORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by the Lifestyle Garage in Lakeside. Whether you're driving a Bronco, or a Jeep, or Ford, or Chevy, or a Ram, Lifestyle Garage will take care of all your upgrades and accessories, plus everything they put on your vehicle, they've got on their vehicles. They also do fleet service. If you're an owner of a business and you're looking to get people to take care of your cars in a timely fashion, Lifestyle Garage is where you need to be. 619-499-5323. Take a run over there. Tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. All right, this is a rather unusual interview. The Lilienthals, if you know anything about them, they've done the Alcan 5000. They're just a crazy couple. And they went and did like, I don't know how many day tour around the Baltic Lake over in Europe. Take a listen.
Well, I've got the Wild Travelers back on air today. Mercedes and Andy Lilienthal. If there's a rock to climb over or under or around, these two are it. There should be a History Channel on the adventures of the Lilienthals. Where have you been lately, kids?
Well, we went to 10 countries through Europe, nine of which we were on a 16-day, 7,500-kilometer road rally.
Well, of course you did. Now, what prompted you to do this?
Well, we decided to test ourselves internationally for the first time. As you may remember, Andy and I have done endurance long-distance rallies a couple of times, mainly the Alcan 5000 rally a few times. And we thought, well, why not make it more challenging? And why not do it in all-electric vehicles? So we got a Volkswagen ID. Buzz van, which is has been released in Europe and in surrounding areas, but is yet to come to North America. And so we got one on loan from Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles over in Germany, and we used that for the rally.
Did they look at you rather strangely and say you want to go how far on an electric car? Or are they better equipped charging station-wise and infrastructure than we are?
So they have it's kind of a two-part answer. The first part answer is there are more charging stations and they seem to work more regularly. The difference is, unlike the United States, you have to belong to each one of those charging companies' a network. So you can't just pay with a credit card or debit card at the charger. You have to download their app or send away for their charging card. So that meant us downloading, I believe, 13 different apps to charge throughout the nine countries we were in.
Right. We ended up doing a lot of research early, and we thought, okay, which of these different companies will work in all nine countries? That was our strategy. Long story short, we found several of them, and then we got to the point of let's download them on our U.S.-based phone. That's when the record went and stopped because none of them would download because we were out of region.
In the U.S.
In the
U.S. Download them in the U.S.
Right.
And we couldn't download them in Germany because we had American phones. So thankfully, our nephew, Paul Crony, who lives in Germany, lended us one of his old iPhones, and he loaded up all of the apps that we requested and sent away for those charging cards. So we at least had a German phone with us.
And that saved the day for us.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, God, how many people would think that far in advance? But I'm sure when you applied to run this, would you call this a rally? What would you call this event?
Yeah, it's a rally.
It's a road rally, but it's a lot more of a choose-your-own-route or an adventure-based rally, not like the typical precision-based time-speed distance rally that, Dave, you and I are and Andy are used to talking and doing.
Right. Okay. So you signed up for this event, and Volkswagen was nice enough to give you the van. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good. In terms of EVs, it's probably the most practical EV in terms of carrying people and cargo that you can get. I mean, it has all the things that make vans inherently practical. So on top of it, it had really good driving dynamics, which is very typical of Volkswagen, you know, from the company that brought you the GTI. And so it did everything we wanted it to do.
And it also, in addition to the van itself, we also had a Kukuk system. It's a company called Q-U-Q-U-Q, and you pronounce it Kukuk. It's a German-based interior camping setup, where there's a bed that folds out, it's cooking and camping and that type of thing, and a refrigerator, and that worked really well, too.
Well, I know the reason I bring that up is because once that unit comes to the U.S., whenever that will be, it's good to know that you two, which are experts when it comes to, you know, going across country, camping, what have you, the general public will probably be very receptive of this vehicle.
I think so. Yeah, and allegedly it's coming at the end of 2024. The U.S. is going to get the long wheelbase version.
Right.
A couple of more powerful versions: a two-wheel drive and an all-wheel drive option.
And what we drove was the Eurospec short wheelbase version that had the smaller battery pack to it. So we wanted to make sure that's a very important distinction compared to what the U.S. will get.
Right. Gotcha. So what kind of range were you able to generate? And it's not what's on the piece of paper. It's on the terrain that you're traveling. Because if it's just flat, well, then you can use what they recommend. But if you've got any inclines, hills, or what have you, that's a different story.
Right, right. So we charged up, I think the rally itself, we ended up charging 36 times. And the range that they quote could be anywhere from, I think, 402 to 423 kilometers or so. So mileage-wise,
I haven't written. In the 60s, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say we'd have to convert that.
60 something.
But anyways, actual real usage, and mind you, we're all in kilometers over there. Forgive me, we'd have to convert that in mileage. So realistically, on 100% charge, we were getting, we surpassed that on multiple occasions. So on one, we got 440 kilometers, and one, we got 467, which about knocked our socks off. But then many of the times, we got just under that, too. So
467 kilometers is 290 miles.
Right, which surpassed what their top range that they said would be that we could get with, again, our size battery pack, which is different than what the U.S. will get. So we were very conservative with how we wanted to play the range game, so to speak. So we charged up when we knew we had maybe 20 to 40% battery left. We had, I think, 8 or 9 instances where we rolled in with 10% or under, 20% or under. And so, you know, we played it as best as we could.
You know, generally, it's most efficient to charge between 10 to 80%. But with the, depending on where we were, like Norway, it was fantastic. There were chargers everywhere. Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Estonia, not as much. So we had to be very conservative about finding chargers, too.
And Volkswagen's very unique. There's a B mode, B as in boy, which is their braking mode or regenerative braking mode. And when we went to the top of the world, essentially, in Europe, the northernmost point where you could drive in Europe called Nordkap, or the North Cape here, as where we know it as in North America, on ChargeFinder app, they said that there were 250 charging units up there. There were not. There was an 11-watt, one single Tesla charger that was essentially fenced off that we couldn't use. Absolute terrible weather. We had 15% charge, 15. We had to go down. Thankfully, gravity and the B mode worked in our favor. We gained back so much kilometers. We went only from 15% down to 9% the whole entire way down, and
it cost us 5 net kilometers. So
to go like what 40?
33 miles.
Yeah.
So it was using. Huge. Luckily, we had gravity on our side.
Yeah, we had a huge gain of kilometers just driving smartly with it. And so if you play the range game, especially going downhill and using B mode, you can really just gain back those kilometers.
Do you still have hair on your head? I know Andy doesn't, but I'm just wondering if he does. Because I would be freaking out. Because I get EVs all the time, and I am so anal about, and I have a charger at home, so I don't usually go to outlet chargers throughout the U.S. But anyway, enough about me. What were some of the highlights of the trip? And I understand you were raising money for an absolutely amazing cause. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so part of the rally is to raise at least 500 euros, so a little bit over $500, for a charity. We raised money for the Jesse Coleman Foundation and ended up raising over $3,200. So we were very proud to do that. In terms of highlights, Norway was absolutely incredible, one of the top three most beautiful places I've ever been, and the Lofoten Islands, which are an Okay.
Archipelago.
Thank you. Off the northwest portion of the country, above the Arctic Circle. Fantastic. If you didn't know and it hadn't been like 62 degrees, you would have thought you were in Bali. It, white sand beaches, clear water, surfing beaches, incredible.
And I think for me, I mean, there's so many highlights I can't even tell you about a lot of them. But one of the things that was unexpected for me is I knew that we were going to be rallying up above the Arctic Circle again. And we've hit two of them during the Alcan 5000 multiple times. And I knew that we would hit two more with this rally. And I don't know why we keep going north, but we had to, right? I mean, Tuktoyaktuk in the Arctic Ocean with the Alcan 5000 rally was the furthest north that you can go with that competition. When we found out that the Baltic Sea Circle rally with the Superlative Adventure Club, which is a rally circuit that puts this one on, goes further north or farther north, we're like, we had to do it. I mean, it was a no-brainer for us. We're like, yes, we got to do it. And to then do the Norway Arctic Circle and then Finland Arctic Circle and hit four out of the eight Arctic Circles that you can actually pass by land, I need to do the other four before I die.
Well, yeah, and So let's go back to Justin Collins Foundation. Now, a lot of people may not have known that that's why you did this and what you're. Is there any way anybody else can contribute to her foundation under your name, or just go to the foundation?
Go to the foundation directly. Our GoFundMe has closed because we were raising money up and through the rally, and once the rally got done, that's when our effort closed. But you can go to the JessieCombsFoundation.com, and there is donations that you can go there and donate directly on the website, or you can reach out to them via social media. They're all over the place on social media at the Jessie Combs Foundation, and they're happy to direct you to where you can donate.
What's next?
Oh, boy. We've got a
flying tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
To Subicep, California tomorrow
California.
Yeah,
I don't know where in California.
County, yeah, and then we have another Subaru event in Pennsylvania.
Boxerfest, right?
Boxerfest. That's in a couple of weeks, and so we've got all those things, and you know, just kind of seeing what else comes up.
So when are they shipping you the Volkswagen ID Buzz? Because you buy everything you drive.
Well, that would mean that they would have that we would already have an Ineos Grenadier sitting in our driveway, and that hasn't happened yet. But we still have to find the money tree. We still got to find the money tree. Hey,
I'm watering it.
Yeah, where is it then?
I got to figure out how to make money doing this, right? But you know what? If you guys are taking copious notes for a book, and if you write a book, when you get another 10 years down the road, you'll have all the money you want. Because I've never met two people, husband and wife, that are more adventurous than you are, and you're such amazing communicators. Start writing your book as we speak.
You know, you're not the first person, or maybe even the fifth or sixth person, to say we need to write a book. There have been several people that have said the exact same thing, and you never know with us. You never know where we will be and when and how and or what we'll do.
Yeah, but do it while you still have a memory, because when you get older, it's a little harder to put that together. Mercedes,
right.
Andy, how do people follow you around?
People can follow us on crankshaftculture.com as well as all of our associated social media on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, TikTok, Twitter, to YouTube, everything but smoke signals.
Exactly. And we're currently right in the middle of a rally recap series that we're doing via our social media on Crankshaft Culture. And we're posting daily reels and recaps on the Baltic Sea Circle Rally with the ID Buzz.
All right, folks, go check it out. If you can't get to the Baltic, Mercedes and Andy will take you there. Great talking to you guys. I can't wait for the next adventure. Have a wonderful, wonderful trip on whatever it is.
Thanks, babe.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.